Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Disquisition Hour, heard live around the world on the Wind Talkers Network. Let you all know that we're interviewing today with Dr. Judy Wood and some insight information that she has to say out there. I want you all to know that we've already discussed things like there weren't any fighter jets flying around Washington, D.C., or New York City right after the Twin Towers were hit by planes, nor after the Pentagon was hit by a plane. Very insightful, astute observation by people that were in Washington, and we do have a couple of Marines here that have come in to the chat room and let me know that Dr. Woods brought forth some information that they themselves had known about and had discussed many times, but this is the first time that they've heard a civilian make the observation that there were no planes flying around. So what happened to the United States Air Force Defense System of Washington, D.C. on 9/11? That's a big-time question. We're also moved forward to pointing out the dust clouds, physical fuzzy clouds on pictures that are seen on Dr. Wood's website. That's drjudywood.com. And we're just going through these pictures and discussing this. And we're going to do another hour today, and we're going to do 2 hours tomorrow with Dr. Woods and having her bring forth her presentations and insightful information that she sees and very well explained of events on 9/11. And this 9/11, ladies and gentlemen, is not going away. We have the girls at the major's wife's house there in Miramar who's tuned in. We've got Marines in London. I want to welcome my friends in Kazan, Russia, and Sochi, Russia, as well as in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, Caracas, Camp Butler in Hawaii. Marines all over the world are interested in what you have to say, Dr. Wood, and welcome back. I would like for you to continue with what we were pointing out in your photos from your website there, drjudywood.com, and I'm assuming we're in the molecular disassociation from dust to dirt section.
And page 2, it's dirt 2, fuzzballs.
Page 2.
From the home page, you can click on the picture of the people walking through the fuzz.
Mm-hmm. I actually was looking at one of the photographs that was very memorable when I was looking at your picture just now. I'm assuming we'll get to it. It was a fire truck or an emergency vehicle that was able to travel, and the dust was flying up, and we were talking about fine dust, so fine that there's no way in the world that fine dust could have been created and settled so fast unless it was something that was man-made.
And this fuzzball intersection picture, I've named it fuzzball intersection, I just developed that name. It's figure 62 on the Dirt 2 page.
Yes, ma'am. Figure 62.
Folks at the intersection, clear sky, we're upwind of the Trade Center,
mm-hmm.
or what used to be.
Well, that's 62 is the one with all the police officers and firemen.
Right.
Right.
And you notice the fuzz coming up from the feet there. Then
correct.
Then you go down a few pictures, you see more of those where the fuzz is really coming up from the feet.
Oh yeah, figure 65 and 66. It looks like it's a fuzzy picture,
like dry ice at a mm-hmm. rock concert.
It even goes even further down where you've got civilians walking in a group that they all look alike because all the fine dust particles on them.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then you start noticing the haze over the ground. There's a fellow there with a handkerchief over his mouth. Notice how bright red his forehead is.
Are we talking about the police officer in blue and short sleeves?
No, below the police officer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that fellow has really bright red, and I started noticing that in other pictures, too.
He looks like he's been sunburned.
Yeah, But it could also be the capillaries are exploded under the skin.
Oh, I never thought about that.
We don't know
and,
what.
And what time? This is. There's a clock in the background. It shows that it's 10:14 in New York at that time. So we're talking immediately after the Twin Tower fell.
After Tower Two went poof at about 10 o'clock. The other one went poof at 10:30.
So I mean, there's a documentation of time. And what's really noticeable here? This guy has got. He's got the scarf around his face. And yet, on his right side, our left side, you see a news reporter with a couple of bags over their shoulder, and they're breathing air like there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, that guy might be smart enough to realize that fine of powder, you don't want to be inhaling it.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. One smart guy wants to get away from it all.
And if you notice the picture below that, you see this is another look at that fuzzball intersection and the block north of that. You can see where just about every single vehicle is along that street. You see that white haze coming up.
Yeah.
But notice where that dust rolled out to but didn't come to where that green area is.
Well, see, that was going to be my question, and I have another. Somebody else has noticed it here too. If you've ever been around a fire, where a house fire, the house fire and the ashes kind of trail off and don't just immediately stop. And this doesn't. There's something wrong with this picture. At number 70. All of a sudden, everything stops, just dead.
And that's what it does when you look at videos of it, too. The dust rolls out a specific distance
and then
goes up. And it's a really strange phenomenon. Like if you have an empty basement floor, concrete, put a bunch of flour on the floor and then drop a flat cookie sheet on top of it. The flour will go poof out and you'll have a distribution that gets thinner and thinner the further away you go. But this is like all and suck, all or nothing.
Something very, very particularly wrong with this. It's like somebody put an invisible shield, Scotty, wherever Scotty and Spock are, and put an invisible shield around a portion of the city, and everything in that shield, within that shield area, is messed up. And then they lifted the shield up so people could travel back and forth and. Everything that's outside that shielded area, there's nothing that happened to it at all, not even dirt or dust.
But it could also be that the dust, was traveling in that dust cloud. It's breaking down finer and finer until it's so fine it no longer has its momentum, and it now floats up.
That's true.
What I came to see.
That's what it looks like here in this picture in your photograph of number 70. It's like the dust is so fine at that one point it looks like it's rising instead of falling.
Exactly, it is. It's rising because we had a picture looking the other way. Remember where the police officers were at that intersection?
Right.
That's that intersection we see with that sign.
Uh huh.
We're around the corner from where the other picture was taken, and we know earlier. That the dust had cleared out, but now it's breaking down and rising up. And if you look at the pictures below that, in 71 and 72, that isn't even being kicked up anymore. It's rising on its own.
I see that. This gentleman here is just standing still, but this I think it's 72. It looks like yes, it does. It looks like there's that the dust is rising and it's not being kicked. It's not even being moved around, but it's rising up like the wind has kind of picked up something.
Exactly, all on its own. Mm-hmm. And we have sunlight shining through, so we know this is after the clouds blew away.
This is bright sunlight. I mean, you can tell it's bright sunlight that's
you see
it's shining
down.
Through.
And then there's so much to learn if you just look at what was really there instead of what we were told was there.
Well, and this is what I keep seeing these in the pictures, and I got a bunch of Marines that are IMing me, advising me. Do you see the paper? Do you see the paper? The paper is everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. Now this next big picture with Branford is on the back of the
right.
Screen.
Got it. We got it.
Branford.
Uh huh.
74B. This is another important picture to me. These people just came out of their hiding places. They're what they should see right in front of them. Well, that's Building 6, but on the other side, they should see Tower 1, a 110-story building, and it's not there. They just come out of their hiding places from whatever, you know, crashing was happening or, you know, what they ran for cover. Now they've re-emerged, and you can see from their postures, they are in total shock. You know, some have their hands on their hips, arms folded, hands at the sides. They just...
Yeah, they're looking in the direction of where the Twin Towers are supposed to be, but it's not there. It's gone.
And they're just standing in a sea of paper.
Uh-huh. And they're not, I mean, you can tell there's a lot of dust, but it's, I mean, this one guy there with the shorts on, his feet aren't, they're not sunk down into the dirt, the dust area.
Right, and he's got his arms kind of folded. Like,
right, uh-huh.
He's just sitting there. Just taking it in, just shot.
Uh-huh.
And you see stuff at ground level there. It's, where's the big beams? You just see paper hung all over the place.
Paper's
so the
everywhere.
The tower disappeared, it turned to powder, and most of the powder isn't even on the ground. Or, you know, spread over a very large distance, like miles, thousands of miles maybe even. And you get the sea of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And would you believe behind them is where the cars look like they were on fire?
Uh-huh.
How'd they catch on fire if this paper isn't on fire?
Well, see, that was brought out earlier when one of the girls pointed out that there was a piece of paper on the mail truck where a driver would normally sit, and the truck was burnt, but there was this paper sitting there. Like
where the steering wheel should be.
Right. Of course, the steering wheel on most mail trucks is on the right side, so I didn't want to say anything before because people look at a mail truck. But
the picture right below there is that they call it nano dust. You see a police vehicle driving up the street.
Yeah, this is the picture I saw yesterday. I wanted to ask you about. Go ahead.
And you see that the dust goes way up. Just he's rolling along. Like he's going through snow. And that's an awful lot of dust all over the place, but you can see from the bright sunlight that the air is cleared. You know, the big black clouds have been blown downwind. But there's very, very fine powder, you know, easily kicked up in the streets. And figure 76, just to the right of it, you can see how the streets have all been watered down.
Right. It looks like somebody's come by and with a water truck. It washed, it came out the back end of a water truck on a sprayer.
So they can go along and scrape it up.
Uh-huh.
To clean it up. This is the afternoon of 9/11. They're cleaning
the street. What gets me here is, you know, here we are several blocks away from the Twin Towers, and we've got these cars crushed and burnt. And this is there's an overpass here. I mean, there's one.
I think that's the Brooklyn Bridge.
You know, there's about five, seven. There's at least nine cars here that are on the, or eight cars that are one, two, three, four, five, six, seven cars that are crushed and burnt. But if you look way down there in the little mini, at the far end, the last vehicle, it's a white vehicle. It's not burnt. It's not crushed. It looks pristine.
And you have vehicles parked under the bridge.
You got
vehicles. And there's dust all over them.
Yeah, and there's dust all over the. You know, this doesn't make sense when you point out the dust.
But notice how the street has been wetted down.
Right. That even goes on to the picture 77 where the street's wetted down and you can.
It's been scrubbed.
Yeah.
And if you look at figure 78, it looks like they scrubbed it with a toothbrush down those little grooves.
Well, my 78 is not allowed. I'm not allowed to look at that one.
But that one, we're looking north to south across that fuzzball intersection again, where the police officers have been standing.
Uh-huh.
But you see that it's got clean pavement.
It's 79. I see that. It's 79. I see the clean pavement with the water standing there. On 79.
Right. And they're constantly scrubbing the streets, so you had clean streets. They were scrubbing the streets before they brought rescue vehicles in to look for survivors. What was so important about cleaning the streets? Well, remember we saw that fuming coming up from the street?
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty weird to see that everywhere. That needs some explaining. People might start asking questions. Better clean that up. Now, what do you do when the fuming is coming off the lawn? You can't run street cleaners over a lawn. And there were some lawns in front of the World Financial Center, which is right across the street from Tower 1. And if you go to the last picture at the bottom of this page, you'll see what they did to the lawn. They covered it with dirt. Brand new potting soil brought in and dumped on the lawn.
Is this the last one before we go to the next page?
Yep.
Okay.
But you notice the nice, rich dirt.
So what do you think? According to your caption, you say that they may have brought this in and dropped it to keep it from fuming?
Yeah. Because you can't scrub the grass.
Well, no, not in this, not to my knowledge, unless it's some new vacuum cleaner that I've never seen before.
Now, how do you clean up the oil you spill in your garage? Can you do litter?
I just buy a kit litter over here instead of the absorption at the AutoZone. I'll buy kitty litter because it's so much cheaper and it absorbs the oil pretty fast. That's what I do.
Yep. Well, they're using dirt for the same thing. They soak up all the what would be fuming.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we go to the next page, click on that link.
Yes, ma'am. I've got a picture on the next page where I've got an X-eyed dirt because I was anticipating that. And I got
the rescue
officer.
You have a fire truck. What?
It's a slow load, but I've got a picture of, I guess it's a man, it's a rescue officer's helmet that's just now appeared up, okay?
Yeah, it's the same one that was at the bottom of the other page.
Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you right up front. One thing I noticed right away is I noticed that the effects of the building is the glass is blown out and not blown in. And the reason I say that is because I see glass leaning outward. It's not leaning inward. Therefore, if it's leaning outward, that means it blew outward, not blew inward.
Or it fell.
Or it fell.
It has double pane glass,
right?
And only one piece of glass is destroyed. The other one is still intact. It's pretty curious. So that's very observant. Cool. So if you look below that first picture, you see two guys pointing up. They're standing in front of what used to be a fire truck.
Well, I get about two-thirds of that picture, but it does look like there's something behind them that might have been a fire truck at one time.
Yep, and inside the cab you have dirt. Under the cab you have dirt. Around the tires you have dirt. How did that get there?
Yeah, where did the dirt come from? How did they get dirt in there, and who brought it?
They had to throw it in the fire truck.
And who brought it? Who brought it forward? That don't make sense.
Well, we find that out. And you start looking down the page and you see dirt everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You start noticing, where did all this dirt come from?
Well.
There's like 89.
Uh-huh.
That's a sort of large picture.
Yes, ma'am.
That you'll see discrete piles. Where it didn't get moved, smeared around, it's like it was brought in with a wheelbarrow and dumped there. On the left side, the lower part of the picture.
Yes, ma'am.
What we're standing on is the the plaza level, which is all concrete blocks. Where'd the dirt come from? Potted plants in the building?
Potted plants in the building. That's a good explanation. That's something that the government would probably say, potted plants in the building.
Yeah,
being facetious.
I'm just being facetious.
Yeah, I'm just being facetious. Oh, God.
It's pretty silly.
It's so ridiculously silly.
Remember that?
Remember what, ma'am?
There's some explaining to do as a... there's some explaining that's needed, as Ricky Ricardo would say.
Is on the pedestrian parkway?
Oh, the pedestrian walkway is full of dirt.
Yeah.
Figure 97.
This looks like somebody came in from the local nursery and started... This is getting ridiculous.
It's all across the pedestrian walk.
Yeah. Are you there?
It's like, how did that dirt get there? Why did it get there? It could be because they wanted to keep fuming. And you can see the picture we saw earlier. It didn't have the dirt in it, on 9/11. Another interesting figure, 99, 100. You see the same scene, but the dirt popped taller with time.
Yeah, it's like the dirt is migrating and growing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is now that I look at it, it's actually funny. It's actually funny that this dirt keeps growing.
Right. And yeah, it was a thing that happened that day, but we need to, lighten up our spirits at every opportunity. And it's funny that they would have us believe that this is normal. The buildings disintegrate into a pile of dirt, and the dirt expands with time. And then some of the rescue workers that said, as time went on, they got deeper, they got richer, and, more abundant.
Well, we got a new life form here. It's growing.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to grow.
Oh, no. It's alive! It's alive!
And did you know that as of yesterday, the day before, they're still hauling dirt in and out?
No, I didn't notice that. You mean we're talking about in New York? They're still hauling dirt in and out of New York?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's an interesting point.
And they haven't, been making much progress on rebuilding.
Wow. No, they haven't made a whole lot of progress on building anything. But I didn't know they were still bringing in and taking out dirt. That kind of blows me away. I thought they had accomplished most of that.
Nope.
It don't make a whole lot of sense.
And if you want to know how the dirt got there, I think it's a pretty good indication. Down figure 96B.
Uh-huh.
You see a picture of Rudy Giuliani?
Yes. That's the famous picture of Rudy and his lies.
He was on WCBS radio. On 9/12, the day after 9/11, bragging about, I've got the actual statement here, the transcript. We were able to move 120 dump trucks out of the city last night. So it should give you a sense of the work that was done overnight. And so some of the debris has already been removed. More is being removed and will be done by barge all throughout the day today. So by the end of the day, they'll remove all the debris.
Okay. We're going to go to a break, Dr. Woods, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in about 3 or 4 minutes. Australia and New Zealand both have to run a 3-minute news break. We'll be right back in 3 or 4 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. This is Drew Raines with the American Disposition Hour, heard live around the world on Wind Talkers Independent Radio Network. We will find you, right?
latest outbreak of deadly viruses? Boost your immunity with professional strength herbs when antibiotics and vaccines won't work. Wage war against bacteria and viruses and pulverize them with our professional strength concentrated immune-boosting formulas from Apothecary Herbs. Strengthen your cells, prevent the spread of infection, increase circulation, improve digestion, and boost your immune system tenfold. Money back guarantee on every product we sell at Apothecary Herbs. Call now toll-free 866-229-3663 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Mention Voice of Freedom and receive a free sample of our organic Heart Smart Salt. Don't wait. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength herbs that work. 866-229-3663 or online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at the 3Ws.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. The 3Ws.theinternationalforecaster.com. Are you prepared for your future? The cost and availability of food and medicine in the near future is uncertain. Why hope things will get better when you can decide now? Stock up on emergency food and medicine, which has a 10-year shelf life. Dehydrated food in stand-up pouches are complete meals, lightweight and easy to store. A year's supply of herbal medicine and your power herb kits are essential to your first aid needs with fast-acting, professional strength formulas, all at Apothecary Herbs. Don't wait for whom the bell tolls. Get prepared now while you can. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Order your power herb kits, your supply of herbal medicine, and emergency dehydrated food now. 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
On a quest for the perfect diet, odds are you'll find the Holy Grail before you find a diet that works. Well, your quest is over. Try Body Foundation Food Mix. Contains single-cell plant food, more protein than beef, zero fat, and is instantly absorbed. You won't feel hungry and can safely lose weight. Just mix with juice for energy, protein, and lots of vitamins. Does not contain ephedra. Just the right nutrition so you won't snack on junk. Product guarantee by Apothecary Herbs. Call now, toll-free, 866-229-3663, or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Call Apothecary Herbs now at 866-229-3663 for Body Foundation Food Mix. The name...
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, I'm never spinning wheel. Like a snowball down a mountain, or a carnival balloon, like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon, like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its day, and the world is like an apple whirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windows of your mind.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are here live, 5x5, around the world to all my friends, the Marines, Navy personnel. We're bringing forth information from Dr. Judy Woods. She's bringing forth an outstanding outstanding observations of what happened on 9/11 that you're not hearing anywhere else. They're not being discussed anywhere else except through Dr. Judy Woods, and I would like Dr. Wood to continue with her observations. We are now on her Star Wars, on her pages here on page 2, we're on pictures, I think about 92 or 93. Are we not there, Dr. Wood?
Yeah, 96 is Rudy Giuliani's picture, and he was telling us, why you saw dirt trucks coming and going all night.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, those dirt trucks are going in, bringing in, those are end dumps bringing dirt in, and it looks like they're hauling refuge out.
If you look right above Rudy Giuliani's picture, you see figure 95.
Yes, ma'am, with the woman there, yes, ma'am.
And that picture is in the first batch of pictures that FEMA posted. And they posted it on the 13th, so it wasn't taken any later than the 13th. We're looking from east to west at ground level, and we look right through where Tower 1 used to stand, all the way through the complex. But look at all that dirt. In just 2 days, you have all that amount of dirt that's in there.
You know what's missing in this picture we see everywhere else? I mean, I see some, I see what might be some, but we're not seeing the vast amount of paper. I see paper here, but I see a lot of dirt.
It looks like they brought in the dirt from a landfill, maybe.
Yeah, it looks like they brought in a landfill dirt, and they've used something to shovel and put it out. I've got a couple of Marines I know that are listening from New York area. If you guys could IM me and let me know if you've got any observation about. There's a little pile of dirt there in that picture with this FEMA woman. That's off to the right there. It looks like there's a pile of dirt there. So you guys, y'all, let me know. What's the insight here?
And you see plenty of dirt down below. This place where I'd like to go next is in the very bottom. There's a menu that goes across the pages, and it goes across the screen. Here it says Star Wars beam weapon in the lower left area. Or you can get to it from the homepage.
At the bottom?
Yeah, at the bottom of the next to the left, next to the homepage is a blue box that says Star Wars beam weapon.
Mine says figure 108, southwest corner.
Go further down.
I don't have anything further down. Oh, it says continue the next page.
You see a long menu bar across the bottom of the screen?
No, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. I see what you're talking about. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and the far left says top, and it says homepage, and then it has
Star Wars began something wagon. I think that's
right.
What it said.
Click on that.
Okay, we're there.
And that'll take you to a menu. And from there, see where it says, well, I don't know if you want to look at the index.
Uh-huh.
Roman numeral 7. Page 4, it says holes.
So, yes, ma'am. Which one of those you want me to click on?
That.
Click on holes or to the...
Holes. Page,
okay, we'll click on holes. Holes. Okay.
This is what you need to see.
Okay.
And you're looking top down over the site.
Okay. Would you give out that information on how to get to this page again? I got an IM here. We got lost.
If you start from the home page, you'll see that first row of pictures. It says start here, and then you see a couple of pictures over where it says holes.
Okay. They've got it. They've got it now,
okay,
Dr.
Great. Page 4.
Yeah, he said they're looking at a picture of a boat in a canal, looks like. But yeah, that's it. Okay, we got it. They're on the same page now.
This says great, and is a top view down, and you see the complex.
Correct.
Just less than 2 weeks after the event.
This is an aerial. This is an aerial picture of of
what's left of which
tower or both towers?
Of all of them. Yeah, the whole complex. And you see this huge vacancy in Building 6. Big hole in Building 6.
Are you talking about the one that's in the on the right side of the big area there? Is that what you're referring to? That's a little dark. Looks like a hole where there's a lower parking garage.
It looks like somebody took a post hole digger and just made lots of holes in this building.
Right. I see what you're talking about. See, it's hard to describe to the other people out there because they don't know where Building 6 was at in the relationship of this picture.
Here's
what you can do. You've got this inlet area where these boats are in this picture.
Right.
All right. If a person were to come down, explain. If you were to take a mouse button and put it in the middle of where all those that little harbor is, and come straight south, tell us where you're at.
Okay. Going down in the picture is going east.
Dr. Wood. You know the directions north, south, east, and west. But what we're referring to is if a Marine is looking at this picture, a picture is north, south, east, and west on a photograph. So what we're asking
you to do is if you go south. Yeah, go downward in the picture.
Downward in the picture, that's south. Go downward in the picture.
Okay, go downward in the picture, and you get to this area that looks like it got bombed out.
Right.
That whole complex in there. Is where the World Trade Center complex.
Where it used to be. All right.
Yep.
That's the landmass area, guys, of downward picture. And you go next? Where you want to go downward?
Oh, yeah. Go down to the next page, and you see a close-up of that building with all the holes in it. Looks like a post hole digger. Just check out all the insides of that building. That's 55A.
Right. It looks like somebody's came in and just pick and choose where they want to dig at.
Right, with a post hole digger.
Right, with a post hole digger.
And there's nothing in the middle of that building. And if we go down some more, we've seen 55B and 55C. At the ground level. But if you look at 56, that's another helicopter view of those that's just empty inside of Building 6. Building 6 is the one that looks like a post hole digger took out the inside of it.
55.
And along the lower edge of the picture, just to the left of center, you should see a 110-story building there.
Uh-huh.
You should see the foundation of it. And all you see is that north wall. And you only see 8 stories of it. And what you also notice is the building just further north of that, right-hand side, you see water squirting out the window.
Where's that?
The building just north of the one with all the holes in it.
Uh-huh. You see water squirting? Is that what you
out
said?
On the right-hand side of it.
And what picture is that?
56.
Okay, my 56 is totally blank.
Oh, okay. But what that is the Verizon building wetting down the rubble left from Building 7. What is interesting is that where the water is splashing down on the rubble, there is no haze. So if it were hot and that steam, you'd see more steam where the water is hitting it. It's where the water is not hitting it that you see all the fuming. So water, quiets the fuming.
I have an IM here asking, what kind of exotic weapons would you have knowledge of to create and justify this happenstance?
Well, we could jump to another series to discuss that. What we have seen is that paper isn't burned, yet the building steel is turned to dust in the same location. And you see cars that look like they're on fire next to paper that is unburned. So we know it's something that's specific to different materials. It does something different to different materials. And we saw that toasted car lot with all the what looked like smoke coming out of it.
Uh-huh.
And between that toasted car lot and where the Trade Center was is a block of unburned paper.
Right.
So how did that happen? There's a lot of these toasted cars all over the place with no apparent, you know, ignition mechanism.
Well, this reminds me of an old cartoon of Superman, where Superman could see through everything except lead. And there was a movie or a TV 30-minute TV series back in the 50s where Superman could penetrate a wall and through osmosis and go back and forth through the wall, but he couldn't do it if the wall was made out of lead. That kind of throws this to me. Says that this is something that can destroy everything around it, but it can't destroy paper.
That's what it seems like. Now, let's think for a minute of if we have experience in our own lives about a mechanism of destroying something other than paper. Microwave oven.
That's true.
There's a type of energy beam that's microwave that doesn't affect the paper towel, but it cooks the food on the paper towel.
Well, it'll burn the food.
Right?
It'll burn food.
Oh,
I've actually burned food in a microwave. Big time burn.
It affects the water.
But it wouldn't burn the paper that was the paper towel that was sitting on. Paper towel was sitting there, no problem whatsoever. But the food on top was burnt to a crisp.
Now, I'm not saying that this is microwave, but we know that of a physical mechanism that treats different materials differently. You know, if you have a big fire, it burns everything around it.
Uh-huh.
But this is something, a particular wavelength of energy would do something different to one material than it would do to another. So, start thinking of energy weapons. Also, it travels a distance. It doesn't need a connection in between. You know, the toasted cars.
Well, that was the theory of Nikola Tesla back in the 20s.
Yep.
Okay.
And you start looking at all of this evidence where you have, like, you know, the building just disintegrated, but it was not hot. It did not heat up. And if you scroll further down that page that we're on, the whole page, you can see what parts of the building are just missing.
I have on the lighter side of your effect observation. On the lighter side, I have a friend in Pennsylvania who said, "This is a banker's dream. Burns everything except the fiat paper money."
Oh yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, and that does add some interesting twists. If somebody showed this on Twilight Zone episode, nobody would buy it even.
Yeah.
You know, somebody wanted to rob a bank and they'd toast everything and just walk in and get the paper money. It didn't make sense. You know, like, imagine if you saw that in a Twilight Zone show. That you wouldn't buy that.
Right.
But that's what happened here. The paper.
That's one of Ripley's Believe It or Not.
And also, right below the ground, if you scroll further down that holes page, to right near the bottom, you see big holes. We go down in the holes in the ground, and they're empty caverns. with water puddles at the bottom.
There's a lot of people, you know, standing in different places, and yet you've got these holes and water puddles at the bottom that don't make sense.
It's not hot.
I mean, the water should be, if it was hot, the water would be steaming.
Right. And it would be like a steam oven down there, like a sauna. And so it was, you know, cold and damp. And there's pictures near the bottom with some guys walking through the mall. That was the first sub-basement level. They're walking, looking for people to rescue, looking for survivors. They're walking, standing upright. Displays were knocked off the walls, but everything is still, you know, the structure is still intact. That's right underneath where a 500,000-ton building just slammed to the ground. It doesn't make sense.
Now, I've got a question here. Does Dr. Wood have any knowledge about the designer of this building and the Japanese designer of this building and his relationship of his death?
His relationship with what?
Death, his death. The fact that he died a lot younger than he should have.
Oh, I'm not too concerned about that. I think that.
I mean, he had the answers. He says this is a Marine out of Iwakuni, Japan. He says that the Twin Towers was designed by a Japanese architect, and he died unexpectedly. But he might have had the answers. Does Dr. Wood associate this man with the fact that he died unexpectedly because he had the answers to many of the questions that she's asking?
Well, that's an interesting thought, but the building was designed to withstand, you know, a Category 5 hurricane.
As I understand it was designed to take a 707 direct hit by a 707 jet liner.
Right. It was virtually indestructible, which would be required to be because of where it was built. Because if there's any chance that building was going to fall over, it would take out the whole of Manhattan. So the only way it could be allowed to be built is if it was way, way over-designed. And if it was way over-designed, how come this indestructible building doesn't have enough pieces on the ground afterwards?
Right. That's why that relates back to the sergeant's question that coming in from Iwakuni. The building was designed in such a way to take all of this catastrophic events, and yet it still stood. Now, Dr. Woods, tomorrow we're going to bring forth some more information. We've got about 4 minutes here. I'd like for you to wrap up. You got 4 minutes. I'd like for your dissertation on what we've discussed today with all the paper and bringing in the dirt and kind of bring up what we're going to talk about tomorrow with the steering of a hurricane that was off the coast.
Yeah, how many people realize there's a huge hurricane larger than the size of Katrina right outside New York City on 9/11? And why was it there? Well, it's important first to look at all this evidence. And as we've seen today, the pieces break down before they hit the ground. They turn into dust, except for the paper. And these weird fires, they look like fires, but they may not be fires. You know, the toast vehicles. The material goes away. Where'd the building go? And it turns out the seismic impact on the ground was 1/30, that's 3-0, you know, 10 times 3, 1/30 of how much it should have been. There's a whole lot of things that don't make sense, like the building didn't hit the ground, well, where did it go? So we'll discuss that.
And any other observations about the fact that this larger-than-life hurricane that set off the coast of the United States, as big as Katrina. And what we'll discuss more tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, is what the effects of this Category 5 hurricane would have done to this devastated area of New York City had it not been, my personal viewpoint is, steered off, because all of a sudden it makes a 90-degree turn for no observed reason. And Dr. Woods has some explanations on that. And
so
I'm assuming
it was a Category 3, but it had gone down to a little bit, slowed down, but gotten larger right outside New York.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't matter, you know, exactly what, you know, what the wind speed was, but the massiveness of it, and that it was in the neighborhood.
And these are things that would have certainly caused major compounded this problem in New York. Do you have any observations of if this would have caused a swell of water?
You worry about storm surges, and Manhattan is just a few feet above sea level. So you'd have a huge problem with flooding. And if you have this hurricane aiming straight for New York City, don't you start announcing it, and, you know, whether or not people should evacuate, you at least discuss it.
Well, that's something
on the morning news report.
And that's something that I personally will look at some of the news feeds from the radio stations out there for tomorrow to bring up what was being reported for this hurricane several days before, because obviously there was no 9/11 knowledge before 9/11, and there had to be some kind of reports that there was a hurricane approaching the northeastern coast of the United States at that time. Would you not think so?
CNN had some article somewhere that said, well, it just nicked the corner of Bermuda, but it's headed out to sea. We don't need to worry about it anymore. It's heading northwest out to sea. Northwest is towards New York City.
And do we have a documentation of them saying that?
I'll get you that for tomorrow.
Okay, well, we'll have that link on tomorrow. In accordance with what we've discussed today with these fuzzy balls, what effect would have happened if a large amount of water had inundated New York? Just hypothetically, let's say rain. If it had rained for several days, obviously a hurricane of this measure would have had rain approaching New York. But yet, in all of my knowledge, there was no rain in New York for several days, 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, it was raining 3 days later. It was on the 14th.
Okay, so it was.
We had nice viewing. Clearest day we've seen in New York probably ever.
Okay.
Very clear skies, but just there. There was reports of rain and thunder at JFK Airport, which is, 10 miles from Ground Zero?
Uh-huh.
And out of Long Island, as well as Newark Airport. There was reports of thunder and rain.
But in New York, it was mostly clear.
Right.
All right. Well, I just got my prompt that we're about to go off the air for today.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Dr. Wood for being with us for 2 hours. We will have 2 more hours for tomorrow. This is Drew Raines with the American Disquisition Hour, the 27th day of August, 2008. Dr. Woods, thank you very much. We'll see
you
tomorrow.
See ya.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the 5 or 6. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. And how it goes.